in the streaming world of what he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
Make my day. This is my room. This is my house. These are my toys.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the horror anthology television show created by Richard Rubenstein and George Romero. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about Monsters in My Room, written and directed by James Sadwith from December 22nd, 1985.
So we got another Christmas episode here. Second one.
Merry Christmas,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all who celebrate it and to everybody else, I guess, also. This one, a little bit more of a clear-cut Christmas episode compared to the Horse X episode.
False Prophet, yeah.
Right, where it was more just literal window dressing where there was like decals on a fucking window in the background.
Yeah, here we at least see a Christmas tree and people opening presents.
There's a tree, there's Christmas morning, there's all kinds of good stuff.
But this isn't Glim Glim.
It is not. It's no fucking Glim Glim, as a matter of fact.
It's also like the drimmest, drorest Christmas ever, because it's just like, yeah, it's Christmas, but we're just kind of going through the motions. Just kind of happening.
Yeah.
This room's lit like there's not a candle in sight or a lamp of any kind.
The tree is on.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I think that's as Christmassy as it needs to be.
For Seth Green, yeah, apparently. Yeah, that's another thing to note.
This is the Seth Green episode.
Yes, this is the infamous Seth Green episode. I remember like when they used to pitch these reruns on Sci-Fi, they would specifically run Seth Green in this episode.
Oh,
they
that's
would do
funny.
They would show
was he hot at the time? Like, was he in a lot of shit around then?
Well, yeah. It was, you know, he
like
was
Austin Powers by then.
Yeah, but they would do the reruns of Monsters and Tales from the Dark Side, and they would have the Seth Green episode, yeah, okay, the Steve Buscemi episode that he's in, the Matt LeBlanc and Will Wheaton episode.
Okay.
Of Monsters,
Christian Slater,
the Christian Pull Slater one. Yeah, yeah, they would run all the celebrities, and you'd be like, oh shit,
yeah, going for their star power.
Yeah,
it's like we're not quite Tales from the Crypt level, but
no,
we got
sure.
some we got some actors. You may have heard.
Because at the time, a lot of these people were just starting out. Yep. You know what I mean? So when the series first aired. Yeah. So they're like, hey, remember that? Look, yeah, they're big actors.
Look
now.
Look where it started.
Yeah. Monsters in My Room.
You remember your buddy Tales from the Dark Side, right?
Yeah. Went on to do Ticks after this.
Yes, that's right. Well,
a couple years later.
A few years, I would say.
He's real small. He's got to be like 6'7", maybe.
I think he's around like 9 or 10. He's
young kid.
He's losing some teeth, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah. 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 It's mostly, I mean, he's got his mom and his dad. Well, mom and
stepdad.
Dad.
Stepdad Biff.
Yeah. But I actually, before we get too deep into this, before we talk about Biff, Chris, with the Fangoria synopsis, please.
All right. So the official Fangoria synopsis says young Billy is terrorized nightly by that old chestnut of childhood fears, the closet monster. To make matters worse, the boogeyman is allied with a flying buzzsaw, a witch, and a pair of giant, wriggling octopus tentacles. All right, there's your spoiler.
Well, I didn't know that buzzsaw was flying, but okay.
The gang's all here.
Yeah, what is this? Well, the Bedroom Avengers?
Well, what? The Monster Avengers?
Yeah, yeah.
The Monster
Squad 2.0?
Of the nighttime terrors. Yeah. I don't know. I guess the buzzsaw just kind of is floating?
It's just like, hey, we had this thing in the fucking like tool shed. I guess it's kind of scary. Let's use
it. It's in the prop closet.
That synopsis, it's like, yeah. If you don't know the episode, it's like, all right, this sounds cool. I'm in.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Monsters in My Room is a sell for me right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I thought it said Monster in the Closet, and I was like, okay, what are we getting into? my mind instantly flashing back to the Paul Walker movie. But no, it was actually an entire room full of monsters. Yeah. And I guess we kind of kick it off where he's in his room initially,
he's
right?
He's in his room, and you see him like looking around and
he's checking the room, checking, like the closet, yeah, under, yeah, the bed.
And he doesn't see anything. And he goes to sleep, and that's how we open up.
Right.
The next day, he's like playing with his potato bug, Ernie,
right,
in his little jar. And he's like looking at it with his magnifying glass. And his fucking stepdad, Biff, comes in. He's like, hey, kiddo. Hey, Squirt, want to play the old fucking
foosball? Dickhead catch.
Biff, I can't get
as well.
That.
Dude, this is a stepfather fucking three joint. Yeah. He like throws the football at the kid. He's not even looking at him. and he throws the football and he hits the glass off the shelf and like smashes all over the floor. The fucking bug dies.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you should have caught it.
Yeah,
and then he's yelling at poor Seth Green. Oh well, it was just a bug. Yeah, well, clean this up. There's glass all over the place.
Wait, what are you doing, kid? We're clean
this up. There's a mess in here. You can't catch the ball. Mess.
What's wrong with you? All right, well, I'm gonna go have a beer. See you.
A beer. Yeah. This guy's walking around with New York Gantes the entire fucking episode.
Well, he's Narragansett.
I don't know. Not the best with the names of the beers. I just drink them. The one from Jaws. That's the one I'm talking
Narragansett.
About.
Narragansett. Okay. We call him Gansets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's like Biff is like a sailor or some shit, so he's not like around a lot, but he's also
like literally.
Dead.
Yeah.
It's like at one point he says like, "Oh, I got a lot of work on the boat."
Is it a fishing boat?
Yeah, who knows?
Is it a fucking... Is he doing a...
He's got to do Biff stuff.
Well, he destroys this bug and glass and everything, and then we kind of get the nighttime ritual again with Seth.
Well, the
Reed.
Mom comes in.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
And
yeah,
we meet
yeah.
the mom. She's like much more like compassionate, and sure. she's like nice compared to Biff.
Yeah, it's because it's her kid.
Yeah.
And Biff's a real like, oh, I gotta turn you into a man. I'll make a man out of you yet, son. And it's like, whatever the fuck that's supposed to mean.
Well, he does this like prayer at night before tucks himself into bed, and he's like, please, you know, God protect so-and-so, and he goes down the list, you know, grandma, grandpa, my aunt, mom, and I guess Biff, kind of like the Kevin McAllister, and I guess Uncle Frank.
And if he has time, my Uncle Frank.
You know, like Chris was saying, he does like the quick look around at the closet and under the bed, he doesn't see anything. Well,
it's actually the same clip from the beginning. Did you notice that?
Say that again?
It's the same clip from the beginning.
Oh, is it literally verbatim? Yep. Why not? It works.
It's fine. Yeah.
Well, he also makes sure that he had to ask if Santa didn't get his letter.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's Christmas, right?
Yeah. If Santa didn't get his letter, that please remind him that I really want that cuddle stuff panda for Christmas.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And the Turbo Man doll.
And the Turbo Man. How did I forget? you thought I did not know things. Also, I just want to note that, like, Mom is accused of, like, coddling him too much.
Mm-hmm. By the stepdad who's just walking around with a beer can the entire episode. Yeah. Okay.
Well, he's a real macho dickhead,
Yeah, and it's like, he is like a little kid. It's like, he says, what, he's in third grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like seven?
Yeah.
But that is a key plot point throughout the episode, the macho aspect that this guy's going to come in and toughen this kid up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're joking about stepfather, but it's literally like that, where kind it's of. Like, oh, you like bugs? You like books? What are you, an asshole? Hey. What are you, some kind of pansy?
Some kind of dickhead?
Yeah. And it's like, no, he's just like a little sensitive.
He's
a
third grade kid.
Yeah, like, just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Also, like, when I was saying with the stepfather in Stepfather 3, when he throws the fucking kid
the football
in the wheelchair, and he, like, falls over in the wheelchair.
I mean, there's a little bit more deep-seated shit there, but same kind of vibe.
Yeah. So he's going to bed, and then we get like little inklings of the monsters. Like, there's a squid
under the eyes.
The squid, they're like blinking, and then there's like the fucking meatloaf is in the closet.
Yeah, like little glimpses. Yeah. It's like you see eyes. Yeah, you see meatloaf. Like
meatloaf straight up from Rocky Horror Picture.
Dude, he looks like fucking meatloaf from the I Would Do Anything for Love music
video. Yep. Better yet. Yeah.
Crossed with like an orc.
A little bit.
So yeah, we get the family dynamic there and stuff. And it ramps up.
Yeah.
So their monsters are there, but it's not too intense until it gets towards the end of the episode. So it's Christmas morning.
Again, very muted Christmas, I have to say.
Yeah,
like, everyone's not very like merry.
Yeah.
No. There's no other decorations up in the house. It's just the tree.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I was trying to say earlier. It feels off. Like it doesn't feel like it's not Christmas, but it's like, oh man, this is like kind of a sad Christmas.
Yeah, it's have yourself a very gray Christmas.
Yeah.
A very Biff Christmas.
Literally, because Mom buys that like stuffed animal, the panda bear.
Well, before that, like Biff gives him his gift and he's like, oh, thanks, Biff, what'd you get? He opens it up and it's like a fucking like toy gun.
Yeah, like
he's
a replica M16 that makes sounds.
He's like, yeah, you like that? Just like the one I had in Nom. And I'm like, okay.
Some weird Red Rider BB gun.
Jeez, thanks, Biff.
Yeah, and he's like, he's playing with it, but he's not like too excited. He's just like, all right, cool. Yeah. Then he gets his present from Mom, this giant bag, and he's like, you know what it is.
Yeah. It's a cuddle stuff panda?
Yeah, cuddle stuff panda. He's psyched. Oh, thanks, Mom. And then it's immediately Biff's rolling his eyes.
What are you, fucking 7-year-old girl? Is that what you are? You like cuddle stuff pandas? Is that real keen?
And Mom's like, all right, Biff, like, he likes the thing. Who cares?
That's a big deal.
He's just a boy.
There's another scene where, like, Biff's, like, coming in and, like, making himself a sandwich and shit. And, like, he's playing piano. Seth Green's playing piano.
Yeah, just minding his own business. Playing piano.
Biff is a dickhead, but like he was also trying to be nice. He's like, hey, what's up, kiddo? Like, you know, I don't really get to see you because I'm on the boat all the time. Let's listen to the game. What do you think? Yeah. What do you come hang out with me? And he's like, I got to do some homework. Yeah, and he's like, you got homework in the homework. Third
Yeah.
You fucking bastard.
But this is when we finally kind of see these monsters start to go to work, if you will, where now Seth Green's like, got the tentacle coming out when he's in bed and the fucking buzzsaw coming out of literally nowhere.
And like, if you're paying attention, they come out when Biff and his mom are fighting.
Yeah, at the height
That's
of them
true.
Fighting.
Yes. Yeah, because you hear that in the background, right?
Yeah, the more they argue when, like, you know, he's in bed and you'd hear him in the hallway, like, mm-hmm. you coddle that kid, you gotta man him up, tough him up. Yeah. And then
he's my son.
It starts ramping up with, yeah. like, yeah, Meatloaf and
right, which also...
He's singing in the closet.
Like, watching this show now going, like, halfway through almost to the second season, there's definitely on some level... I mean, by the end of it, that's not actually what happens. But you think as you're watching, is this a metaphor? Is the dad actually just, or the stepdad just, he's the monster? Is it one of those? Spoilers, it isn't, but you kind of have that vibe in the back of your head. Like, okay, especially the way Seth Green is reacting to some of these things happening.
It could have went the route of like Tales from the Hood.
A little, but exactly, it does not. Exactly. That's a dark scene.
It's kind of the same themes, which I want to talk about at the end.
This is a little sillier take on that concept, especially with the music. Has you're going to kill me, but circus music. But it actually feels like it's intentionally circus music-y, kind of kiddy, monster-esque. I've only seen, again, one episode of fucking Monsters, but I would imagine this felt like a Monsters episode a little bit.
Well, it's like Monsters. I mean, the best way to like describe Monsters, I think, it's like, take Tales from the Dark Side, but have like a Monster of the Week.
It's literally Monster of the Week.
Creature of the Week and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Because like these things, they're not like, it's the monster in the closet. It's the monster under the bed. But it's not like, I guess you find out they're malicious, but it's like, this thing's like kind of walking around, kind of, almost like Herman Munstering around with the kid.
A little bit later.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right. A little bit later. First it is kind of creeping on him like
but
Sully
he,
or something.
But he gets like freaked out and he's like, Mom, there's monsters in my room, TM.
We get a lot of this cool shit where we get the shot of just the door with the light and the voices. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
You're not into that as much?
I mean, I'm into it. Again, like, the juxtaposition between, like, them fighting and the monsters appearing in the room, and then he's like, I need a drink of water, and Biff's like, shh, get your own fucking water.
Yeah, you can get up and get water. You're in third grade.
You're seven.
Yeah, walk yourself to the bathroom, right?
Well, that's later, but then, like...
But that kind of, like, tension, constant tension,
Don't encourage him, goddammit. Yeah. He's a little pansy.
He can make his own dinner.
Right, get over there.
He can make his own meatloaf.
He can drive himself to school.
Throw meatloaf. Put that ketchup on there. I'm watching.
You want a beer? So it's just like grow up kid, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, Seth Green kind of like fights them off and then a little bit, and then his mom comes in and like brings him the water and shit and puts him to bed.
And here she like sings to him too, which is like, this is a weird scene too, because it's again, she's like she's, you know, compassionate compared to Biff. But she's singing him like, you know, good night and like a lullaby. But it goes around the room to like all these little dolls around the room. And like each one is like creepier and like weirder than the one before it. And it's like a weird thing here, just showing all the dolls. And it's like, all right, where are we going here?
Well, I think it's like how he's surrounded by things that are supposed to represent his mother's love for him.
Okay.
Okay.
Like these are all the things.
Oh, so we're going like deep now.
I mean, I thought so. That's the way it reads to me.
Yeah.
They are also adding that additional like element where there's the religious aspect where he's praying and the mother like that lullaby has like a religious element to it, which I think is a good through line throughout too. Which to that point of these stuffed animals being around them kind of fits that theme or that element of the episode.
Also, you mentioned innocence, and like I feel like when mom's there singing the lullaby, nothing seems scary in the room, and that's kind of the point of that, you know?
Yeah, and I also like the music specifically, the way they do that in this episode, and we've talked about it before where maybe the music that's on the DVD might not be what was originally there, but I like how they do this, at least on the version I watched or we watched, how it's like when it is a scene with the mom, it is the kind of like this more lullaby kind of calming music, but then when the stepdad comes in, it's not like scary, but it is a little bit more ramped up, and then the monsters, it's ramped up, but it's playful ramped
up. And he's like much more like on edge uncomfortable around the stepdad and everything.
Oh, pins and needles. They don't know how to like interact with each other. And like I think mom says here, it's like a throwaway thing where it's like you know, Biff just needs to be more patient with you, but the real thing is that we need to be more patient with Biff because he's a fucking dope.
It's like he doesn't know how to deal with kids.
He doesn't know how to deal with kids.
No shit.
No, you think?
But we also kind of get this like little like dark moment here after that conversation where like he does say, "Yeah, mom, I'll try," but then when mom leaves, he does his little prayer and he's like, everyone but Biff. He's like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah. And yeah, God bless, just mommy.
Yeah, just this time, yeah.
Ernie and just mommy.
Yeah, Ernie.
So I guess mom's like out working this night?
Oh, no, she had to bring presents to the neighbors.
Oh.
Because remember, it's Christmas.
What a fucking angel this mother
is. In case we forgot.
In case we forgot.
From the one shot of the tree. Oh, yeah, it's Christmas.
And, like, you hear from the other room that she's got to bring presents to the neighbors.
Yeah.
And
we forgot our hats.
Yeah. Well, right. I think you even have another scene of them arguing off screen, literally over her giving the presents. Like, why are you doing that?
Oh, well, I think it's just more about him being Seth Green being a wuss.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah.
Biff is watching the kid.
He's watching. He's bitching around, man.
Which is a genius idea.
He's drunk off his ass and comes fucking in the room singing fucking shanties.
He's holding the when you walk in holding a cup like this, you know you're fucking done.
Oh, it's a fucking beer can.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, kiddo, what are you doing? He's like, hey, what are you drinking, Taylor?
And this goes on for like so long.
This is so uncomfortable.
He doesn't let up.
He's sticking this beer can in Seth Green's face. He's like, take a sip. Yeah. And he fucking drinks. He's like, it's gross. He's like, cause it's gross as beer, kid.
It's piss light.
Well, then you're just kind of like, all right, where are we going with this? Because the entire episode now, I'm like, all right, even though this is a little sillier of an episode, like scary for a kid, but silly episode overall, I'm like, they got to kill this guy with this, right? He has to die here, right? Like, that's got to be where this is going.
There's this weird scene where he's singing to Seth Green. He's like pointing at him and going, like, kill all them dillies, braver, kill all them dillies. Yeah.
And then, like, the music, again, with going back to the dolls, it's like the dolls are singing it too. And there's like a faint, like, melody of like the song.
Well, it's like, you're a little pussy. And he, like, leaves. And then all of a sudden, like, all the stuffed animals and shit start, like, singing, like, Yellow Belly Sailor, Yellow Belly Sailor. And he's like, I'm not a yellow belly. I'm a brave kid.
Oh,
and
all
the monsters fucking come out.
Which is almost like he kind of learned something from his stepdad, even though that's not really what they're trying to showcase. But it kind of feels like it a little bit, right?
Yeah bravery by negative reinforcement. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then the monster again. It's kind of funny to like, it's almost, I can't think of the character verbatim, but there's a character in my mind of like this like oafish kind of monster character that it's like is intimidating, but the second you're like, hey, don't fuck with me, it's it's like one of those. I kind of like that.
Oh, you know what? It just dawned on me. This guy kind of, it's like Meatloaf and Snick from Little Monsters put together.
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. Yeah.
So Seth Green's like, but get out of here, you octopus, and buzz
I'm not
off,
scared
saw.
Of you.
I'm not scared
buzz
of you.
Off, saw.
And he basically puts all the monsters in their place.
Yeah, and they go, like, disappear. Yeah.
The fucking Meatloaf's like,
away.
Whoa! And he goes back in the closet and shit. And he's screaming at him. He's like, I ain't no yellow belly. And then Biff's like, will you shut the fuck
I'm
up
a brave
and
boy.
Go to bed? He's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. He's like, well, I'll go to the bathroom and then go to bed. So you think everything's cool.
All right,
he goes down the hallway to the bathroom, because I guess that's like another scary portion of the house, like your basement or something. And there's a fucking witch.
With the light off.
Yeah, there's a fucking witch inside the bathroom.
And Biff looks so like annoyed that he's got to get up again off the couch. Like, oh, this kid.
Hackles is in there, right? And the witch has got him fucking tied up.
But yeah, so the kid's like running for his life. Like, oh my God. And then, you know, Biff's like, what the fuck is this?
Gets like, up. Yeah, Timmy's scared again. He goes back to Biff. He's like, there's a monster in the bathroom.
Well, he's
or
like,
whatever.
I got to go to the bathroom. He doesn't want to tell him that. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. He's like, well, go use your own fucking bathroom. What are you doing? Yeah. Go ahead, get out of here. He's like, I can't. He's like, why? Did you flush something down the toilet? And he's like, no, there's a witch in there. He's like, a witch? You little pussy.
You little dickhead.
I mean, I'll say this. This episode feels a lot like a Creepshow episode. You know what I mean? Like a very Creepshow-esque segment.
Kind of.
The way this kind of wraps up. This and another one we're going to get to in a few episodes where he kind of comes into the bedroom and is like, what the fuck's going on here? You need to calm down more or less. And then all the monsters start to kind of...
Yeah, well, they're like fighting with each other and he calls his mom like an idiot or something.
Right,
and he's like, you're the stupid one. He's
yeah,
like,
you don't talk about my mother that way. Yeah.
Oh, he grabs a paddle, right? Yeah. That's how he runs in.
He's literally going to fucking whack him in the ass with like a ping pong paddle. So he goes and he like rips the covers off him and he's like about to hit this fucking kid.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like he doesn't bring him in his room. He's like, he's already in his room under the covers, sleeping.
Right. Yeah.
And Biff wanders in. It's like, how was this like an hour or two
drunk
later?
As hell.
Hey, I just forgot. Out. I was going to hit this kid.
Come here, you. What do you do? What a drunken sailor. But he's about to hit him. And the witch.
He's got the wind up and everything.
Yeah, and the witch comes in and like grabs him by the face.
Yeah.
And then everything else, like I said, starts kind of coming out of the woodwork, if you will. Like the tentacles shoot
the
out.
The tentacles
comes
come
out.
Out
of the closet,
wait,
the buzz
something to note here, too. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
The,
no, you're good.
I think this is the very first shot we have of blood. Because on his mouth is when she grabs him, there's like blood coming out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah, there is.
It's quick, but you might
be
right.
And it's like, I don't remember seeing like that explicit in like other episodes.
It's a shame we couldn't get the explicit buzzsaw bisecting him as this thing goes past his fucking head.
That's the uncut one.
Yeah, dude, it's insinuated that this man is eviscerated on this bedroom floor.
Yeah.
And our third episode in a row where an episode just ends implying, yeah, they're dead, by the way.
Oh, he is dead.
And also, like, how do you even explain this one when mom gets home? What happened to Biff? Well, this buzzsaw came out. Actually, I forgot there is an ending. They actually do try to explain it. There's
we have a wrap up here. Yeah, there's a funeral and everything. Yeah.
I was going to make the joke, like, oh, how do you fucking explain that? Like, right, the cops, like, I don't know. He's all cut up and ripped apart on the floor.
We actually get an explanation.
Oh, but he had heart problems.
Yeah.
His heart attack cut him in half.
Yeah, it got cut off by his heart. Yeah.
So grandma
was bisected.
Grandma's there. Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically. Yeah. So grandma's there and some other old lady and mom, and they're all sitting around like, huh, who knew? Biff had a bad heart.
Which is, I think, is like the funniest way of explaining it is just like right away. It's like, who knows? He had such a bad heart.
But did he just have like a heart attack from being so scared because he was so scared? I mean, that's what it's implied.
With this show, there's a lot of stuff people see and shit a lot of the time. 100%. So probably.
And Seth Green's like, fuck him. He was a scaredy cat.
Yeah. You're the scared one.
He looks at
one.
The camera.
But like Seth Green's also like,
fuck
him.
Fuck him.
It wasn't a heart attack. It was a fucking buzzsaw. And they're like, what?
He's like, the monster's got him. He was the scaredy cat. That little chump. And mom's like, what? Go to your room.
Mom's like, I'm going to beat your ass with a paddle. Yeah. And he's like, you better not. Don't do it in my bedroom.
The witch is going to get you.
Yeah. And the buzzsaw's going to give you a heart attack.
Yeah, then he just like goes in his room, closes the door, and he has a little sign on the door.
It literally says, beware monsters in my room. Yeah.
It's like, that's cute.
Yeah.
It's like, so was it all in his imagination?
That's okay. So that's what I want to get to. Like, the way that the monsters are represented is that the more stressed the kid becomes, the more the monsters come out and to like scare him. Mm. And that's all the stress from like his mom and like Biff fighting and the pressure that Biff keeps putting on him because he's like a little Nancy boy or whatever. And like he's always in that awkward situation.
Yeah. It's like the more like scared he gets of, say, Biff, or, you know, just like nervous or loses his, you know, mind.
Yeah.
It's like that's when they have more like control over him. And
yeah.
It's like they live on fear.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So he's like fighting his fears, or those are the fears that like, you know, you make that shit up as a kid, or maybe you're scared of things that aren't really there, but are manifestations of the stress that you're going through. Like, that's a big thing in like poltergeist cases and stuff like that.
Sure. Yep. I could see the manifestation stuff, but because he literally dies at the end, granted, like they're saying it's a heart attack, and it is Tales from the Dark Side, I feel like there is some supernatural shit there. Yeah. He literally obviously didn't get buzzsaw cut in half, but these ghost entities, whatever they are, whether they are being manifested through like Chris said, through that negative energy, or like you guys were talking about, through this like tension in the house, whatever that may be, I think there is definitely that supernatural element without a doubt.
And they scared him to death.
Right.
So, and they appear to him because he that's what it is. Like, he's the scaredy cat. So he was able to see them.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's kind of how I took it too.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe they were real.
Yeah. But they won't show. They get scared when mom comes around because she sings that fucking lullaby and she like settles everything down.
They have nothing against her.
Well, right. Yeah. So what do we think of this episode?
It's a decent one. Again, not one of the better ones, but it's a very memorable one. I mean, part of that is it's Seth Green, but like this concept of the monsters in your room, under your bed, with a different spin, kind of like you guys are saying, maybe it's something that you're just thinking in your head. Remember when you're a kid, you're in that dark room, you're thinking, what the fuck could come and get me? But it is also that element of like, huh, maybe this drunk stepdad is actually the cause of this. And it's an interesting thing to kind of think about walking away from this one. I wouldn't skip this one. I would probably watch it again on a rewatch, but I'm also not like hunting for it on YouTube to be like, oh, I gotta see this one again. Mm. It's solid.
Yeah, I think it's a fun one. It's like, I don't have a whole lot of complaints about this one. I mean, it's like, if anything, I wish there was like more of the, like the monsters, just a little bit of more, a little more octopus, a little more meatloaf.
That octopus is fun too.
Right. Like, even like the witch and stuff. It's like this is a fun, you know, seeing all these weird, like, you know, creature makeup and stuff. It's like, it's fun. It's like, I always like when the episodes go to like places like this, and it's like, yeah, the dynamic of like the kid and like the stepdad was fun. Seth Green was fine. I think as a, you know, kid actor,
for a child
like,
actor,
yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was a fun episode.
I like this one. I'm always a fan of the monster driven episodes. And again, like this particular episode, and like I mentioned before, the Tales from the Hood segment, like how though they work similarly. And again, like if you're a kid who grew up with that, like your parents fighting or stuff like that, like it resonates a lot. And like, I don't know, there's something about the episode that just hits on that respect. But like, I also really like the idea of like Chris said, like having all the different kinds of makeups and the monsters and stuff. And like, I think it's good. I think it's a good episode. It's a solid episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always fun. Like seeing just like random, like guys in suits or guys in makeup. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, cool.
Any
like,
excuse.
There's Meatloaf. Yeah.
Oh, Meatloaf. Or just like, yeah, witch. Why not? We've done it a few times on the show already, but witches are always a good one to go back to, you know?
And even if this one is like played a little like safer.
Yeah.
It's like, even though you have blood when like, you know, coming out of the dad's mouth, it's like this one is played a little more for like, more like
it's more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Which is funny that that's one you specifically are like, yeah, I think this is one of the first bloody ones where it's like mostly kind of kid centric or aimed more at a younger audience.
It's not too serious. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, going through these, I know we always kind of compare these to like other shows, like, oh, this felt like a Twilight Zone episode or like, oh, this felt like Outer Limits. It's this one, I think, like is the first time, like, at least I can say, this felt like Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Yeah. Or even like Amazing Stories or something.
That
like,
too.
Yeah, Are You Afraid of the Dark for sure.
That's a better example. I said Creepshow earlier, but that's a way better example, yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's like bad by any stretch.
No,
just
no
like,
not at all.
The tone here is a little more like that way.
Early Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Agreed.
So yeah, and Chris, don't you have some Midnight Madness shows coming up?
Yes, we got more Midnight Madness coming. So we're always doing new showings. So check my Instagram. It's tape_hell. We'll have it right here. So see what I got coming up. And don't miss Midnight Madness in person.
Yeah, you do not want to miss these. You got a show coming up on January 20th at 10 p.m. for a quadruple feature of Fright Night, Vampiros, Lesbos, Near Dark, and Daughters of Darkness. That is one hell of a lineup. You don't want to miss that. So definitely get your tickets now. And there's a link in the description. So that's Monsters in My Room. Let us know what you think about this episode down in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. And hit like and subscribe if you haven't already, please. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave that 5-star review because we really appreciate it. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
And happy Hanukkah, I guess.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.